So good afternoon. My name is Charlotte Parent, and I am the Director of Health for the City of New Orleans Health Department and the previous Project Director for Healthy Start New Orleans, and here to take you through a study that was conducted post-Katrina on the difference between or the use of a safety net for perinatal support during disaster recovery. So I have nothing to disclose. And just to thank the study team, a couple of years after Katrina, Dr. Gloria Giratano approached me about looking at the differences between women who were had access to Healthy Start services and women who did not after Katrina, to see whether or not those safety net services would make a difference. So she came in with her team, and they performed this study and was graciously enough to let us use it for Healthy Start as an evidence-based project for us to be able to show what those services do give us. So in an overview, background, of course, Hurricane Katrina, which for the City of New Orleans is our watermark in terms of everything we do before and after Katrina. What it did, in particular for Healthy Start, was basically blew the project out of New Orleans for the time. But they had staff who was dedicated to making it work and frankly went to the area in Baton Rouge where called Renaissance Village, where a lot of our clients had evacuated to, and continue to perform outreach and find those clients and reconnect them with services. HRSA was gracious enough to continue the funding for us to allow us to operate and operate until we could move back into New Orleans. And we were one of the first, if not the first, social service program to come back into the city after Katrina. The study. Again, Katrina flooded 80% of New Orleans, 300,000 homes destroyed, 1 million people displaced across the country, and of course long-term effects on all aspects of life on the Gulf Coast in New Orleans particularly, with people longing to return home but not quite able to do so, and if they did return, returning to conditions that were at the very least unsafe and unhealthy. Mental health and the primary risk for women is around depression and post-traumatic stress disorders. What it did also do for women in particular was interrupt family planning, increase domestic violence, increase the use of alcohol, drugs, lack of child care, parenting issues, and birth outcomes in terms of fetal growth and potentially preterm babies and small for gestational age were potential outcomes that could occur. So disaster recovery was the process of restoring, rebuilding, and reshaping the physical, social, economic, and natural environment through the pre-event and then the post-event areas. Of course, people and groups and institutions were all affected differently, and this was truly an issue of where you lived and whether or not you were in one of those neighborhoods that was totally destroyed or a neighborhood that may not have been destroyed but, of course, was affected because everything else around you was an issue. Recovery is not linear. It occurs at different rates for different entities. I remember when I first got to Healthy Start, you know, everyone, as you can imagine, wanted to come in and study us and, you know, try to report on what was going on and what was happening. But one in particular for us that showed me that we hadn't made a whole lot of movement in terms of recovery was when the CDC came in and they wanted to sit and speak with our mothers in particular about what could be done better in terms of preparedness. And their thought was they were going to be able to come in and have a conversation, and moms would tell them, well, we needed this, we needed this, we needed this. And basically what that time with our mothers ended up being was counseling sessions. that almost a year and a half out from the disaster, people's feelings and reactions to everything were still so raw that it was really hard to even get to the needs of what you had to have, because they still wanted to talk about the issues that they had gone through at that time. So that was one thing for me that really demonstrated that we were just not in a place yet to really move forward with that recovery. You may fail to reach the pre-disaster condition, and in the case of New Orleans, that's not a bad thing. You know, what it did for us in this tragedy was allow us to rebuild ourselves to something different. It was very painful, though, for people who, of course, were still grieving the loss of what they knew, and a difficulty for them in even thinking about what that new could look like, because you're still feeling that pull to what it should have been or what you thought it was. So there were complications, of course, with long-term community recovery. We are still recovering today, but we're further along than most. It's almost 10 years. Extreme widespread property damage, the number of homes that were damaged, neighborhoods that were damaged, schools, you know, public institutions were either no longer there and needed to be rebuilt, and rebuilding takes time. Ongoing financial problems. The city, while we had recovery dollars to try to get us moving, as many of you can imagine, accessing money that comes down from the federal government is not that easy. We also had the stigma of, you know, this being Louisiana and people feeling like there were opportunities for people to cheat, take money, that sort of thing. So lots of barriers in terms of accessing funds that could let you recover. The disaster caused by the human intent, of course, the levee failures, of which primarily, you know, the hurricane did its damage, but the bulk of the damage done to the city was because the levees failed. And there is no way to go back and obtain restitution for that. It's the federal government, and, you know, it happens, and you just need to accept that that's what happened. Of course, the levees have been rebuilt in most cases and built to bigger and better. We hope to never, although one day we will, I'm sure, have to test that out. But for now, it's, you know, they have been built to hopefully withstand what we needed to withstand in this city. And then the high trauma impact, injuries, threats to life and loss of life. You know, many of our moms were women who ended up in the Superdome Convention Center after the storm. Many of them ended up being the caretakers for their families, and not just the, you know, with them and going along with them, had lost family members, could not find them, that sort of thing. So put that trauma in perspective with everything else that was going on, and you can only imagine where they were. When they came back to New Orleans, and most tried to get back as soon as possible, even though the city was probably not in a place that could accept people back readily, if they did come back, they had lack of social support because the families at that point were fragmented. Not everyone returned to New Orleans at the same time. There's absolutely were housing issues. We just didn't have the housing stock for people who wanted to come back. And that's still an issue today. Rents in New Orleans and, you know, the cost of living for housing is extreme. So people still have that difficulty trying to return. Limited public transportation. The transportation system was limited basically to the core of the city. So if you did move out into those areas that were really damaged by the storm, the chances of having bus service that was regular or taxi cabs even to go into that area did not happen. So women who were pregnant, say, living in eastern New Orleans, which was heavily damaged, would have difficulty getting to services because there was no way to get them from one place to another. Limited hospital services and medical care providers. We had a lot of physicians that did not return to New Orleans immediately after the storm, and it's still a gradual increase that we have. And, of course, hospitals were destroyed and not a lot of places for people to go to receive care. Lack of retail stores, daycare centers, and schools, everyone stressed rebuilding, and, of course, at higher risk for domestic abuse, unplanned pregnancies in the future. So the purpose of this study was to compare the differences in hurricane experience, recovery, mental health, and birth outcomes in prenatal women who accessed New Orleans Healthy Start and those who used traditional prenatal care systems during the two-year period of that long-term recovery, which was from 2010 to 2012. So Healthy Start, as we've talked about, has been around since 1991. New Orleans was one of the original demonstration sites, so we've been around a pretty long time in terms of what we do. And its aim, of course, is to reduce disparities in access and utilization of health services. And Dr. James talked about some of those core services, in particular case management, but also health education, interconceptional care, and depression screenings. So this was a cross-sectional study with a one-time interview, included people from 24 to 40 weeks gestation. They were enrolled in prenatal care for a minimum of 3 visits, currently lived in the greater New Orleans area, and English and Spanish language was who we looked at. Recruitment sites included the 2 med school clinics, 1 community clinic, 1 private OBGYN, 2 hospital-based prenatal classes, and of course the Healthy Start education classes that we had. The study was called the Gumbo Study, so that was our way of trying to make it and socialize it to New Orleans and get our moms to participate. So difference in demographics, and primarily with most of our Healthy Starts, you know, primarily African American women were enrolled in the Healthy Start program. And in the traditional prenatal care, you saw more Caucasians and Hispanics. We did have some Hispanics in our program, but not enough to shift the study. And so we looked at them in terms of differences in their hurricane experience. And what jumps out in particular was women who won, of course, under the Healthy Start group had those more intense experiences where they feared for their life, walked through flood water, had their homes have significant damage because of flood water, and, of course, their house also being flooded. Then we looked at depression, and in the case of the Healthy Start clients, they had higher levels of depression, although even with our traditional prenatal care clients, they were at higher levels than depression than the national average. The national average was about 10 to 15%, and of course our Healthy Start families were, you know, over 40%, and over 26% in our traditional prenatal care groups. The mental health outcomes, again, higher levels of depression, PTSD, anxiety with our Healthy Start groups. No real differences in terms of what they were given in terms of prescription for medication. New Orleans at that time, I can tell you, there was a lot of depression medication going on at that period of time, and doctors who were available were readily prescribing. So differences in model of prenatal care and mental health. So these were things that were actually taught by the case managers. And so in the Healthy Start programs, you can see that the women in those programs identified more education in terms of smoking, breastfeeding, when not to use alcohol, using seatbelt, birth control, reporting of abuse. And that's just, again, I think just talks to case management. And what does case management do? It just takes its time to make sure that people are being educated on those things outside of the clinical arena that can affect the numbers on the other side. So in terms of services offered at Healthy Start, of course, almost 91% of our moms had a caseworker assigned. 47% got referred to other agencies, and that's if they did not fall into our catchment area and could make it. We also had a Mall of Moms in place where they earned points and was able to come and shop in our Mall of Moms for items. And if you think about that, the importance of that was at the time, there's not a lot of retail stores around in New Orleans for people to get products. So we would stock our Mall of Moms, and moms would then earn those points and be able to come into the mall and purchase those things. In particular, we carried items that were not only baby-related at that point, but simple things like cleaning items and you know, diapers and items that they could just not readily go into a store and buy at that period. And, of course, counseling and then support groups for our moms who felt like they needed something more than just the case management. So the conclusions for us was that high disaster exposure and low social support are associated with mental health problems during pregnancy. Okay, women remain at risk for years after the disaster, and we were able to see that. And again, you know, to me, I described it at that time as a death. You know, you grieve, and there's levels of what that grieving is. It just never goes away. We're 10 years out, and I think people still grieve. You feel it's good, things are better, but there's always that tug at your heart that it's still going on. And social and medical safety nets are needed for the most vulnerable. Even though there were no real significant changes in birth outcomes for our moms in terms of the prenatal care and the persons who received Healthy Start, we do feel that the moms that we had in Healthy Start were of higher risk, okay? And if they start at a higher risk, then you would expect to see worse birth outcomes. And we didn't see anything worse in terms of the services that they received during that time. So prenatal care for women with a history of disaster exposure needs to include the assessment for mental health. That is something that's a given in our program for our moms. And continue getting that support years after the event and providing that. That is one thing here in New Orleans that sort of, you know, we have a problem with now. There's not a ton of behavioral health services that's available, but we do our best to put as much as we can for our moms in place, like Healthy Start, to provide those opportunities for that to happen. Professional social services and mental health care needs need to be available to support families that are still disrupted through any disaster recoveries, and models of prenatal care that promote support, problem-solving skills, like you just talked about, centering pregnancy, doula care, Healthy Start programs. Those are the programs that you need to have in place to help families through these issues. The limitations of the study is that it was a cross-sectional design. Mental health instruments used for risk depression, PTSD, et cetera, don't diagnose the condition, but just gives us an idea of where we're standing with our clients. And other situational factors may contribute to mental health status other than hurricane recovery. So, you know, there are the issues of you're dealing with that, but then as the social determinants are there and you're not able to access other things that are going on, it's just piles on, basically. In our case, you know, you had other things that came up after that. Of course, you had Katrina, then you had Rita down the line. In some cases, you know, people were affected by the Gulf oil spill. So it's been one thing after the other, and other things in terms of the slow recovery. But the one thing I will say about families and New Orleans is what you do see in these moms is a resiliency. And that's where case management and programs that give you those supportive services can build on that resiliency to bring those families forward. Thank you very much.